her.
Okay. Now you're on the stream.
Great. Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting of Monday, November 30th, 2015. My name is Brian Edwards Tigert. I'm the committee chair. I'm going to ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Lydia Brazon. Adriana Kasanov.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Brian Edwards Tigert.
Here.
R. Paul Martin, present. Tony Norman. Michael Novick.
Present.
Serene Roberts.
Present.
Nancy Sorden. Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
Okay, that's seven. That's the quorum.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. We are on to agenda approval. Sent out a draft agenda last night. It goes minutes approval, then budget review and approval. The agenda currently lists WPFW, then WBAI, then KPFK, then the Pacifica Radio Archive. We do not have, as of the start of this meeting, a revised budget from WPFW or WBAI. We do have a revised budget from KPFK, and we have a request from the director of the Pacifica Radio Archives that we modify the only motion they've passed regarding their budget so as to give them the leeway to raise extra money in lieu of making cuts. After budget review and approval, we have cash flow and liquidity. And then we have an item entitled, What Happens When We Can't Get Realistic Budgets for a Unit? With a fixed adjournment time of 7:30 Pacific, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Does anyone wish to propose any changes to the agenda?
It's Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Under the PRA budget, I move that we propose, I put forward the motion that Brian DeShazer proposed, that we modify our...
You can do that when we get to the item. It doesn't require a modification of the agenda.
Okay.
May I say something about the agenda? I'm not getting it at my corrected email address. I didn't get this.
Have you gotten anything through the Yahoo group, Barbara?
I can't open that. I don't know what to do about it.
But, I mean, is it forwarding you emails?
No, not to my LMI address.
Paul, do you have it open?
Which thing, the agenda?
Yes.
No, the Yahoo group.
Oh.
Let me go find that.
If somebody could just send it to the LMI address. Now.
I'm going to do that, but we want to diagnose the problem, so we don't have to do this at every meeting.
I'm sorry.
I just sent you a copy of it at your LMI address, correct?
Yes, please. Thank you.
And have you checked your spam folder, Barbara?
My what?
Your spam folder?
Spam. Oh, dear. No, I haven't. One doesn't show up except if I have something, and there's nothing there. So, I mean...
Okay, is it? You've changed the email address, and I remember sending you...
You sent me one thing, and you... The first time I could get into Yahoo, but then I don't know why I can't since then. It may be my problem, but nothing is coming to tell me there's anything there, even. So.
Paul, is the current address you have for her the one that ends in lmi.net?
No. That's not up there.
Well...
Okay, I've just sent you her correct address.
Okay, we'll send out another invitation during the meeting here.
Oh, invitation. That means I have to go signing up. I did something and
well,
it didn't
well,
work.
Okay.
Anyway, but we'll later.
Yes. Thank you. Does anyone wish to propose any further changes to the agenda?
Michael, to the stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, as I mentioned before on the stream, I told our general manager to expect to be on about an hour into the call because there were two other budgets listed as a half hour each before KPFK. So I just texted her, but I don't know if she's gotten on yet or gotten that text. So I'm wondering if we don't need the PRA present to take up that motion. I didn't get the sense that Brian was going to be on the call to do that one earlier.
He hasn't asked for the call information. So are you asking to make the KPFK budget a time certain at 6:30 Pacific?
I guess so.
Okay. The motion is to make item 4C time certain for 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. Is there any objection?
Hold on a second. Okay, say this again. What is this it's an amendment. What's the amendment?
Make item 4C, KPFK budget, time certain at 9:30 Eastern. Got it?
Got it.
Is there any objection to that amendment? Hearing none, it's now incorporated into the agenda. Anyone else wish to propose any changes?
Well, I was actually suggesting we could take the PRA up earlier if there's no other business prior to that the KPFK budget.
Once we fixed a time certain, we can't take it up earlier than its appointed time, so we would take up any items after it if we have the time.
Okay.
Any further amendments? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda as amended is now approved. We're on to minutes approval. ARPOL sent out minutes for our public session from October 13th, 2015, earlier today. I saw some discussion from Nancy on the list about changes to those minutes. Is Nancy on the call? Okay, I'd like to entertain a motion to table consideration of minutes.
Well, we need somebody to move the minutes first.
No, I'm tabling the whole item.
Oh, tabling minutes approval.
Yeah.
So moved.
Thank you, Adriana. Any objection to tabling minutes approval? Okay, great. We can take that back up if Nancy gets back on the call, and we have time for it. On to budget review and approval. First up is WPFW. We have new budget information from WPFW. So unless anyone has anything to say, I think we move on. The next budget is WBAI. Our Paul... Has there been any redrafting that you know of?
Not that I know of. I did send out a notice to the general manager, and I called him, and nothing so far.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was optimistic to think that we'd get changes turned around between the Tuesday before Thanksgiving and the Monday after. Hey, Nancy.
Hey. Hi.
Well, now that Nancy's on the call, let's deal with those minutes. Can I get a motion to take them off the table?
No move.
Thank you, Michael. Any objection to taking up minutes? Hearing none, we're on minutes approval. We had public session minutes for October 13th, 2015, and Nancy, I think I saw an email from you saying you wanted to propose making some changes to those minutes?
Yeah.
We'll need a motion to approve the minutes. Paul, is it coming from you?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the October 13th, 2015 meeting.
Okay. And now, Nancy, you need to move your amendment or amendments.
Okay. Now I'm thinking I corrected the wrong minutes because I thought these were the minutes for the previous meeting.
Yeah, I think so.
That we just had. And they were the meeting before that, or several meetings before that?
Six meetings back.
Oh, my God. I think that there was still something that might have not been correct. And I apologize. I am totally handicapped. My computer will not charge, and I can't see a thing. So I can't even see what I sent earlier today.
So it looks like, were all your changes written in caps?
Yes, uh-huh.
So you wanted to add a line said that said, GM said we were also getting rent from them last year. FY 2015 budget needs to be corrected to show that. But I think that's a reference to our most recent meeting, right?
That's a reference to our most recent meeting, yeah.
Right.
And there's also a paragraph you proposed striking because, according to your annotation, it was old news.
Right, and so if that was from six meetings back, then that's probably...
It was new news.
It was new news, so never mind what I said.
Okay. Does anyone else wish to propose any changes to the minutes of October 13th? Hearing no amendments, any objection to the minutes of October 13th?
Tony on the call.
Hey, Tony. Welcome aboard. Hearing no objections to the minutes of October 13th, those are now approved. And, Nancy, since you just got on the call, let me ask you, do you all know where you're at in terms of revisions to WPFW's budget?
Still working on them.
Okay.
You want the... Jerry said that he has some of the historicals. I just spoke with him, and he wants to know if he's needed on the call tonight. And if he is, I'll let him know. You know, maybe he might have some questions or something like that.
I don't think it would be a good use of his time or ours until we've got that information in writing.
Okay. All right. We've still got the information that he needed last minute, and you know, really needs more time to digest it and review it.
That's understandable. So, you know, he should try to get us something at least a couple days before our meeting that's coming up a week from Tuesday.
A week from
writing.
Tomorrow.
Yep, and plan to be on that call.
Okay. All right, I will get off the call briefly and let him know.
Okay, or you can let him know after.
Well, he's waiting to hear if he should get on or not.
I see. Okay.
So I'll be right back on? Or do you want me to stay on for a minute? Or?
You do whatever you want to do. What's up, Bill?
No, actually, I can call from my house. Oh, never mind.
Okay.
I'll stay on.
Bill?
Yeah, I was just going to suggest that ask if you could get it to us at least a day or two in advance, because we don't really have time to review it if we just get it. You know, the afternoon of the meeting.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And there was barely enough time to, you know, just get it done today.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, WBAI budget, we have nothing yet. KPFK budget is at a time certain at 9:30 Pacific, so we can't take it up yet. That puts us onto the PRA budget. Let me pull up the email from Brian. There we go. So to recap, we reviewed the Pacifica Archives budget, requested a first round of minor revisions to make it balance. Pacifica Radio Archive submitted those revisions. And on final consideration of the budget, we initially considered asking them to draft a contingency plan if they couldn't meet their fundraising goals, but the committee settled on a motion asking them to cut 10% of personnel costs, or $40,000. That was a little over a month ago. PRA has not submitted a revised budget with those personnel cuts in them. Here's what Brian DeShazer has reported the PRA fund drive was budgeted to raise $51,000 in November, he says. I assume he means cash receipts. We have raised $65,480 so far and are extending the premium gifts until January 1st with two more days planned for April and August. We plan on meeting their $160,000 overall goal. They're requesting that the motion from the National Finance Committee be amended to give Pacifica Radio Archive the option to raise the funds and or reduce expenses rather than dictating where the cut is to be made. I think we're going to need to make the language a little bit more formal than that. Who is that making the motion? Serene?
Yeah. Hi, Leslie here from KPFK.
Hey, Leslie.
Hey,
Leslie.
This is with a point.
Before we get into points and argument, let's get clarity on the motion.
It's a typo error.
A typo error in Brian's email?
In the agenda, which item D says PRA budget, but the sentence after that has approval of KPFK budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Just to clarify for Leslie, we end up deciding to set the KPFK budget at a time certain of 6:30, so we're actually doing the PRA budget now.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll go back to work, and I'll catch you in about 35 minutes. Does that work?
Sure.
Just trying to keep you on your toes.
All right, I'm just sitting here in the office waiting on you guys. Okay.
All right, bye. Mr. Chair, before she leaves.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Serene.
Is there any reason we couldn't amend the agenda to do it now, if that's better for her?
There is no reason we couldn't. It would require a two-thirds vote.
Okay. Would later be better, or is now good? Madam GM?
Maybe she left already.
I'm still here.
Oh. What do you want, it's Leslie?
It really doesn't matter to me. Whatever is the pleasure of the group.
So I move that since the GM is available now, that we amend the agenda to take up KPFK now.
I second.
Okay, is there any objection? Hearing none, we're on to KPFK's budget. Okay. Who's going to give us the walkthrough? Will that be Michael or Leslie?
I'm assuming it'll be Michael since nobody told me there needed to be a walkthrough, so I don't know what I was supposed to prepare. Except the latest version of the budget. Michael, do you want to take it, or do you want me to try?
Well, you worked on it more recently than I did, but I can point out some of the things you did. The big problems are still in the cash flow portion. But why don't you go explain like the last changes you made?
Well, the last changes I made were essentially to bring the expenses down to what we've been paying over the past 4 months here rather than the previous 12, since we've made some extensive cuts in expenses, and I think we can maintain those. Also cut the national office fees to what we are currently paying, which is paying off $18,000 approximately every month in past bills, plus paying $18,000 of our current bill. So I redid the budget to reflect that. A few adjustments in personnel to reflect the current realities, but also reduced the income to 80% based on our last fund drive, which came in at about 80%. Came in almost exactly at 80%. And that balances the budget, in fact, leaves us some surplus. We still have a terrible time here with payables.
Right, so you need the surplus to catch up on payables.
And it doesn't do that. It's not sufficient. I mean, given that we owe about $80,000 in member benefits, in union benefits at this point, even if the arbitration brings us in at paying that out at about $10,000 a month over 8 months, which would be very generous in an arbitration, it's still going to be a problem.
Are you talking severance or catch-up pension payments?
Catch-up pension and seniority payments. We're not paying any severance. We're paid out on our severance.
Got it. Okay. Aside from cutting your central services in half and the adjusting personnel, where else did you cut expenses in this?
I trimmed by inches. Let's see, programming expenses are down by about, roughly speaking, about $5,000 a month. Other programming is reduced. Believe it or not, reduced the utilities for the tower to what we currently seems to be our rate. That was just a shaving of about $300 or $400. I shaved a little bit off telephones because we're getting a new system installed this week that'll save us. We're predicting $1,500 a month, but I made it only about $1,000 a month, just to make sure that we weren't being overly optimistic about that. Let's see, was there anything else in expenses we cut? Not that would show up here in any significant way, I don't believe. Left most of the calculated amounts as calculated amounts, didn't overwrite those. In the version you have, they're indicated in yellow.
The changes are in... Oh, the calculated amounts.
Calculated amounts are in yellow.
Did you change anything in the development expense area, or are those just calculated from lowered fund drive expectations?
They're just calculated from lowered fund drive expectations.
Okay.
I mean, we kept all the percentages of costs the same.
Okay. So everything is a reality-based adjustment, and you are asking to cut KPFK central services in half.
Yes, I am. But that, again, we're also making payments on last year's that we didn't pay in the amount of 18,415, so we'd be making a payable of 18,415 plus 18,415 in current payments. So we would be making 36,830 every month to Central Services. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's all cash in for the national office.
Right.
If you are not accruing it as an expense, they can't budget it as income.
Yeah,
and it will put them in a deficit.
Yeah, I mean, that is how EFRIN is crediting our last two payments, which were the $36,000 amounts. He's crediting half of it toward current payments and half of it toward past payables. So I just continued that and adjusted the current amount to what we can actually do and move from there.
Okay, I'll take a stack. I heard Michael. And who else?
Bill.
All right, go ahead. Bill, who else? All right, go ahead, Michael.
Well, I wanted to make a proposal that we actually defer the central services payments, the payables, until the station can, pay down the rest of its other debt to its vendors and to the staff especially, which it wouldn't be any cash difference as far as the national office is concerned. It would just mean that the $36,000 that we're paying each month, we just considered paying in full the current. I'm not sure how that would work with the at this point.
So you're proposing to budget the full amount as expense, but to continue cash payments at the same level?
Yes, I believe that's what he's saying. Either way, it's fine by me.
For the current payments, current year. I mean, in that budget. Is that what you mean?
I'm not sure, but if you want to go on stack, I'll be happy to call on you.
Sorry.
Bill, you're next.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to really go over this much because we just got this about an hour or so before the meeting. Okay, so you said you're planning to continue the personnel costs as they are right now. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that would mean that all the people on halftime will continue that way indefinitely?
No, right? That means they go back to full-time as of January 2nd.
Well, okay, is that reflected in the budget then?
Yes.
I couldn't quite tell that. So it wouldn't be the way they're doing now. It's going to go back up to the previous...
It would be the way it was in the original budget. This was the original budget proposal to go back to full-time on January 2nd, and that has not changed.
Okay. Have you considered delaying that? I know it's hard on the employees, but the national office needs the money too, and I worry about that because that's been a really big cut in what the national office has been getting.
Well, I have a few things to say to that. It is a big cut in what the national office is getting, and I understand that, but it's being done on... Is this being broadcast, by the way? Is this being...
Yes, this is a public call.
Okay. That our staff here is on halftime to pay the national office is a very hard pill for people here to swallow. We are proposing that we can go back to full-time and make full payments to the national office. If the national office wants more and wants our staff to remain at halftime in order to do that, I can tell you quite honestly, the systems here are falling apart. We went through the weekend without streaming. Our email server went down. Our broadcast signal went down. We have rebroadcasts of old shows running through our fund drives because people are not here. This is not a long-term solution to the problem here to keep people on halftime. The station is holding together by a wing and a prayer at this point. And, you know, I just hope we can get through our December fund drive without more systems crashing. You know, just little things like not having people here to sign checks, to co-sign checks when they need to go out. You know, all of those are problems that we are confronting on a daily basis.
Well, I understand. It's just that, you know, I'm looking at the salaries tab now, and it looks like you have 28.5 FTEs for 2016. That means
28.5.
January 2nd.
Oh, heck no. We have 20. Where are you now?
This is on the salaries tab of the budget, cell O62, which is the grand total FTEs for FY 2016.
O62.
You know, Bill, it looks like it's the same problem that we encounter with WPFW. The FTEs haven't been deleted for positions that are...
Yeah, we have
empty.
Several positions that are not filled here that I think are being counted in that as well.
Okay, so do you know how many FTEs that would be then after
January 2nd? Believe at last count I was at 21.5, maybe 22.
Okay.
Yeah, the one halftime, I'm sorry, Michael, the sec.
Gotcha, Michael. Bill, did you have any more?
Well, I was just going to say, I'm still not sure you can afford that. And, you know, the national office and also PRA, I wasn't clear what, and I know you don't pay as much to PRA as the other stations, but do you anticipate paying them you pay them 2%, is that right?
We are continuing the same payments as last year to PRA. We haven't cut them.
Okay.
Okay, because those are shared expenses, and, you know, it's if you don't pay them, some other station has to do it. They don't go away. It's for things that benefit all the stations, and so it's not like you're taking the money from KPFK and spending it somewhere else. If it wasn't the national office, you'd have to be paying probably more to do the same work, you know, locally.
Well, I understand, and I, you know, again, the proposal here is to pay them essentially $38,000 a month, and what you're asking is that we pay them $56,000 a month. And, you know, I'm essentially we're part of the reason we are in a tight place is because there were miscalculations regarding the pension payments and the seniority pay. And,
if I could finish,
I find it also problematic that staff would have to take cuts in order to pay their own benefits.
Yeah, I mean,
we've got a three back and forths rule. Now, there are no proposals for us to debate at present. If someone wants to make a motion, we can have debate on it, but we have a stack. Yes, there are, Paul.
Point of order. The three rule is a limit on debate, and that is in fact that's out of order. You can't do that. If we want to take this up at this time, we can get into Roberts, but that was not legal.
There are other people on the committee.
Yeah, first of all, Paul, colloquy is not legal under Roberts during debate. We allow it during Q&As because we have the opportunity to be more informal. Second of all, we approved it as a special rule of order with prior notice and a two-thirds supermajority.
Yeah, unanimous wouldn't work.
Let me just say, I'll defer to others, but can you come back to me after others have asked their questions?
Absolutely.
Mr. Chair, we do need to get into this at some point.
My ruling is that our special rule is a limit on colloquy, not debate, and is in order. And if you wish to challenge it, we can vote on it.
But we will not debate it further. I guess we have to go into that. If you're going to make that ruling, I think we have to go into it. So your ruling is... All right. Tell me your ruling again.
My ruling is that the committee's standing rule of order constrains colloquy, not debate. And is in order.
Okay. So then I need to, maybe you could make something else so we could do this at another time, because this could take a little while. But if you want to do it now, we can do it now.
I have a point of courtesy.
Paul, if you want to put it off, move to table it. Your appeal. The motion on the floor is your appeal of my ruling.
You can't. Maybe if. Well, can you think of a way? No, you can't do that. Can you think of a way to make a ruling that will not require that I do the appeal right now?
I'm not prepared.
Go back on the stack at another point. Let's just move on.
Well, I mean, we can try.
We have a motion from Roberts to table the appeal of my ruling. Is there any objection to tabling?
I don't think you can table an appeal.
Paul, you made the point of order. You made the appeal. You don't want it tabled, and you don't want us discussing it. So what do you want us to do?
We can get into discussing it right here, but maybe the chair could think of a different ruling to make so that we don't have to have the appeal go in right now, because we should be doing the budget, not dealing with a mistake that was made in May.
My ruling is that what we did in May is in order.
Right.
God.
Okay.
Okay. The motion is to table the appeal.
Well, wait. All right, you got me. You're going to have me looking up 10 different, well, at least 2 different things in Roberts right here. So, I mean, understand that if in the middle of this I see that we can't table the appeal, and I'm trying to do this with one hand so I can't get the book open, it's going to be a continuing breach, and we'll get into that in the middle of things.
I have a point of parliamentary inquiry, please.
What's your question, sir?
There's a motion to table on the floor. Is there a reason why we're not moving to vote on it? I just don't understand why we're using staff time like this.
Our Paul's trying to figure out whether or not he can raise a point of order against the motion to table.
And I think we should deal with the staff person who's on the phone and argue later.
I think we have a question of rights and a ruling that's really...
So how do I get that done, please?
It's a good question. I will have to, if he makes a point of order, I will have to rule on that point of order. Because the underlying motion is not debatable, the point of order will not be debatable. And we will vote on the appeal.
Well, I tell you what, I don't have to do it that way, because if I get both hands free and can open up the book, I can find it, and that will mean...
If it's not a board,
the whole thing. So go ahead and have the motion on this, but understand that if I find that you can't table this at this time, that will mean that whenever I find it, it becomes another point of order, and we can start arguing ad infinitum about legal things that are done.
If you find a citation that casts clarity on the issue, that would be very helpful. The motion is to table the appeal. Is there any objection?
Yes.
Okay. Paul, can you call the roll on tabling the appeal?
Okay. Lydia Bazan. Adriana Kasanov.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
No.
Brian Wirtz-Tiekert.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. No. Tony Norman. Michael Novick.
Yes.
Serene Roberts.
Yes.
Nancy Sorden.
Yes.
Barbara Whipperman.
Yes.
Okay. Lydia Brazon. Tony Norman. Is Lydia Brazon there?
Yeah, this is Lydia. I just got on. I just don't know what we're voting on.
I'll let the chair handle that.
We're tabling an appeal on a rule of order regarding whether someone can go back and forth more than 3 times without having to get back on stack at the bottom.
During the Q&A.
Okay. Yes, I would definitely vote yes. It's the table, right? Yes.
Correct.
Thank you.
Tony Norman. No response. Okay, 7-4, 2 against, 0 abstentions.
Okay, it's tabled. Unless our Paul finds a rule and calls out a continuing breach later in the meeting. Next on the stack, Bill, you wanted to go back to the bottom of the stack, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Next on the stack, I had Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara.
My question is simple. I just want to understand from Leslie what you're picking out of the problem in this budget is that you'd like to be paying the current central services and have the past central services that are overdue as a standing debt until there's some way to resolve it. Is that...
That would be wonderful.
That's what you're requesting.
Sure.
Thank you.
This is Lydia.
For stack?
Yes.
Okay. I've got on stack myself, Michael, Bill, and then Lydia. Michael, it sounded like you wanted to speak to this issue. Why don't you go ahead of me?
No, I want to speak to the question of the halftime.
Okay, go for it.
I just wanted to point out that the only reductions that time reductions are for the there were two replacement positions of unfilled positions, and it would only be filled for halftime under this budget, not full-time. I think that's one of the FTE differences that should be in here and isn't included. So, in answer to Bill's question about halftime, that's my understanding, is that the two new hires are only hired for halftime, not full-time. I think that's correct.
Okay. So I want to raise a concern that's kind of structural. Sorry, I'm getting back to the budget page. And this is about what happens when everybody goes back to full-time. Is KPFK at that point operating sustainably? So as things stand in this year, KPFK is saving, looks like, about $140,000 from reduced hours in the first quarter. And then at the end of the year, with that savings incorporated, it's coming out with a surplus of $104,000, which tells me that if everybody's full-time for a 12-month period, there's going to be a deficit of at least $40,000. So I'm concerned that KPFK is building up a little cushion, but then back to bleeding as soon as everyone goes full-time. And I was wondering if you all had considered anything like leaving a portion of the reductions in effect, like taking people from 50% reductions to 20% reductions or something to show good faith and to fix some of the operating issues you were talking about, but to keep KPFK sustainable past the end of the fiscal year as currently structured.
If I may, I would consider that depending on the outcome of arbitration, which is happening in a couple of weeks here. If, in fact, the work reductions pass the arbitration smell test, then that might be a possibility here. If arbitration rules against us in this case, then we're going to have to go back to the drawing board in a big way.
Do you have a date for the hearing?
Yes, I do. Just a moment, and let me get that for you.
The 14th, I think, isn't it?
That sounds right, yeah.
But then you don't know how long it'll take the arbitrator to render a decision afterwards?
No.
Okay. Conceivably, if arbitration went against us, we would be out back pay for everyone whose hours were reduced as well.
I think that's highly unlikely since they haven't been working those hours. I don't think the ruling will go quite that harshly against us. I don't think they will demand that we pay people who did not work and, in fact, received work sharing from the state during that period.
Okay. All right. I had Bill back on stack, and then Lydia. If it's all right with you, Bill, since Lydia hasn't had a chance to talk, I'll put her ahead of you.
Yes, I wanted to make a motion based on Leslie's recommendation, which I strongly support as someone who's dealing at the national office trying to get sums of money out of different stations, and Leslie keeps sending, okay, half of this is for this and half is for that, and that makes no sense whatsoever. I would think just in terms of our accounting, it should just be clean. And as we have with other stations where they have passed debt, I don't know why this is split this way. It comes out to the same amount of money, but it makes it very confusing even when you're requesting it. And I would think it would be an accounting nightmare as well. So that's a motion. So what she recommended is a motion
what?
For me to...
Could I hear the wording of this motion?
Let me see. Move that the KPFK pay its current central services and that it be appropriated accordingly as opposed to splitting it between past central services due and current central services due. So that the past central services are identified as such, as a static amount past due. Is that about it, Leslie? Did I make myself clear?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're clear to me. I don't know if you're clear to anyone else. It's
okay.
Saying it is more confusing than the idea is all.
And, and to clarify, your intent is that the budget would revert to the full amount.
Yes, but that we would not be responsible for the payables in the cash flow. At least not this year.
Oh, I see. Okay, I haven't looked at the cash flow tab. Paul, what's the language you took down from that?
Well, what I have so far is that, that KPFK pay its current central services and that it be appropriated accordingly as much as I have.
Okay. Lydia, if it's all right with you, I want to propose changing that language, but I think it...
No, go ahead. So it's not tortured?
I think it will honor the intent.
Okay, please do. Go ahead.
It would be that KPFK budget full central services at the same rate as 2015, and that central service payments from KPFK be credit. And not. See, now I'm stumping myself. Leslie, can you show me where in the cash flow the catch-up payments on central services are?
Well, if you go back to the payables tab,
What about the cash flow?
Yes, in the cash flow, there's a line. I believe it's 39. No, it's not. Is it 39? Yes, 40. Line 40 is payment of old accounts payable.
Mm-hmm.
And that picks up the amounts in each month on the payables tab, from the payables tab.
Okay. And that it's the KPFK budget full central services at the same rate as 2015 and reduce catch-up payments on prior years' central services amount sufficient to keep its cash balances positive. Okay, here's the language, and Paul, I'll send this to you in writing. That KPFK budget full central services at the same rate as 2015 and reduce catch-up payments on prior year's central services by an amount sufficient to keep its cash balances positive.
So the effect is that KPFK will pay its central services currently due.
Inshallah.
Pardon?
Sorry, go ahead.
But we'll carry as it past due as the static amount until it can chip away at that, like all the other stations are doing, right?
It leaves a little wiggle room in there where if you have extra cash, you can pay some of it down. But it says reduce the catch-up on old central services by whatever you need to balance the cash flow. Does that make sense?
Barbara with a question.
I heard Michael first, and then Barbara. But actually, Lydia put a question to you, Leslie. Does that square with you? Leslie, you still on the call? Okay. So I heard Barbara, then Michael. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I just want to be clear. You're not saying that the past debt is completely wiped out or excused.
No.
No.
No one is saying that.
All right. The words didn't sound like it was covering paying it as you can to me, but I'm not... if the words say that to you, they're fine.
Michael?
I'm not sure. My original idea was to defer those back payments until the other station obligations for vendors and the obligations to the staff could be met. It doesn't eliminate them. I'm not sure about the question of reducing them. That's in your language.
Yeah, it's tricky. It feels weird to, through the budgeting process, to be telling KPFK which bills it should be catching up on. I mean, it seems like triaging payables and cash should be happening at a management level. It seems like the structural question that's raised in the budget is, like, how much of an operating surplus can we expect KPFK to generate? And then management's going to have to prioritize what that surplus pays down.
Bill for the stack.
And I don't know if my language accomplishes that. I would welcome amendments. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you. I'm not sure there's any need for this, but it's also unclear if you talk about the 2015 central service payments on both the budget tab and also the cash flow forecast tab. For FY 2015, it has the total central services of just over $500,000. Is that the amount you're talking about continuing for 2016? Because if not, you need to state what it is in the motion. But that's what's on both of those two tabs for total central services payments for 2015.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the $36,000 and something for the national office and the close to $5,000 for the PRA.
We don't owe back PRA, Michael.
Right. No, I'm saying the ongoing one is.
Okay.
I understand we don't owe the PRA.
Okay, so you're talking about continuing to pay $500,000 in central services payments then for next year. That right for FY 16 this year.
I'm doing the math now to make sure your math it matches my math. But yes, and but to be given grace on the payables from 2015. To Central, to the national office. Grace,
well, but if the total is $500,000, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's it would be $442,000 to the national office, $59,000 to Pacifica Radio Archive.
Adriana?
Go ahead, Adriana.
If we change that, we will have a loss of $116,000.
That is correct. So that would, I mean, it would need a commensurate cut in expenses.
Is Leslie still on? Leslie, are you on? We can't hear you.
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
All right, then I don't like that motion at all. I had a balanced budget 2 minutes ago.
Well, I mean, you had a balanced budget by proposing to cut your central services in half, which creates a deficit for the national office.
Well, we also proposed to pay the other half from last year's payables.
No, I understand the cash going to the amount of cash going to the national office is the same. But the point is, there's a structural deficit somewhere that we have to fix.
Okay. I mean, there will be less of a cash flow problem this way and more of a budget problem.
It will be exactly the same cash flow situation.
Yes.
Yes, but we would be deferring the $18,000 out of the cash flow problem. Probably for the remainder of the year, to be quite honest.
But what you're asking us to do, if you're asking us to propose that we actually cut KPFK Central Services, is to cut a break on what you owe, what you're accumulating, and that comes out of the national office's budget. They will have to reduce positions to handle a deficit of the size that would create.
As will we if we have to pay all of this.
Correct. I'm clarifying what the issue is in front of us.
I understand. And I'm simply saying that the issue is the same here.
Okay.
I've
got, let's go back to the stack.
Is that me?
I heard Lydia. Oh, Bill's been waiting patiently for a while. Sorry, Lydia. Bill's in front of you.
That's right.
Okay, thank you. Well, to get back to what I was going to ask about was revenue, because obviously that's the best way to balance the budget, to get the revenue up. But looking at the Fund Drive Pledge Details tab, if you add up all the numbers of days of fundraising, Fund Drive for this fiscal year, it's 230, which sounds like an extremely large number. Now, even if some of those are not active pitching,
right.
I see some days you've only had a $6,000 average per day. If you ever gotten $6,000 a day when you're not actively pitching?
Well, you would have to ask Michael about that.
That's something else. You can answer both together. But the other days, you have in October and November an average daily of $19,243, which I assume is the actual you've had in this last drive.
That's correct.
But then for December, February, May, July, all the active fund drive days, future fund drives, you've got like about 30,000 per day average, which seems like a very large increase over what you've been doing the last 2 months. So that doesn't seem realistic to me either.
Bill, I would say to that yes, it's ambitious of us, but it is considerably less than my previous budget, that the previous budget we presented, which proposed on average, it's not giving it to me, proposed something on the order of F-14 by G-14. Okay. The average daily goal is based on the fund drive goal of 500,000. I have actually reduced those pledges to 80% instead of 100%, and that's not reflected in the daily goal. In other words, we're looking at raising $400,000, not $500,000. You divide that by 15, you get a considerably smaller daily goal.
You did, Anna?
Well, those numbers are already in there in the spreadsheet. You have 80%. Well, and some of them are 90%.
Right. The 80, for instance, look at December 15. In dollars, we are actually now looking, because of the reduced goal, based on the 80% we raised in October, November, I'm going with 80% instead of 100% of 500,000. Or in column H, $400,000. $400 divided by 15.
It's just a lot higher than what you were getting in this last fund drive, September.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. If you plug in 400,000 in column F instead of 500,000, and in column G you change that back to 100.
We get the same thing.
You'll notice that the average daily goal goes down to 26.6, which is still ambitious, but it's not 33.
Well, is the 19K the amount pledged? It should be amount pledged. Is that correct, or is it the amount collected?
That's the amount pledged.
Well, then you're not going to get 100% of that, so you have to. That's why the
right,
column G has the percentage.
Right, and that's why projected fulfillment is 87% in column I. I mean, I'm just using the form they gave me.
Okay. It still looks like you're overestimating revenue for those future fund drives significantly.
Well, and we've cut it back significantly. Unfortunately, the model they've given me doesn't allow me to project any grants or foundation monies that we don't already have in hand, doesn't allow me to anticipate any major donor drive that does more than we did last year. And the only place I can begin to show some growth is in the fund drive right now. It's the only flexible figure I have. I'm not saying that we can necessarily get it all from a fund drive, but I do believe the station can increase its income in some capacity in the immediate and ongoing future.